Well, welcome back. Good to be with all of you out there. My name is Scott.
And I'm Stan, and we had just a little Thanksgiving break, but now good to be back, well, with you, Scott, and with those of you who are listening.
Exactly. And it was kind of, and I think it was a Thanksgiving break kind of from recording, you know. I think we needed a break to kind of get through Thanksgiving. And Stan, you were traveling, weren't you?
Yeah, out in Massachusetts with our youngest daughter.
Hey, your youngest daughter, and you and Mary lived there for about 20 years.
Yep. So just south of Boston.
So you had a good trip, and so you're back. And we are both kind of back now as we get ready for the second Sunday of Advent to dive back in to into the scriptures that will be on the Sunday messages, as we've been doing here on Stan and Scott. So,
Or is it Scott and Stan?
It's Scott and Stan. Whatever. It's all good.
Oh, we beat that lie to death.
I know.
Over the
have
years,
fun.
Right? We're at, what are we coming up, 4 years?
Yeah, coming up on 4 years. And it used to be, we used to have Sally and Stu who helped us, so we had four S's. Now it's Isaac, so that doesn't quite fit. SSI, I don't know. That's my nerdy side coming out, Stan.
Well, we don't want to push that too far, SSI.
No, I don't know. Something Social Security Insurance or something?
Well,
I don't, maybe not.
My mind is... I've lost it, Scott.
That's all right. Well, so anyway, we're going to dive into the scripture, and this is for Sunday, December 10th, and for that week. And again, the scripture that goes along with the sermon, and as you probably know if you're at ZPC, these 4 weeks of Advent are dealing with prophets. And so today we'll be in Malachi. If you want to open up your Bible, if you're at home, to Malachi chapter 3. But before that, I'll pray for us, and then I'm going to hand it back to Stan. So let's pray. God, we do thank you for this opportunity to get back together and to look at your word. We thank you for the prophets, Lord, as we think about how they set the stage in many ways for the people then, but also for us today and for the New Testament to come. And so, God, we're glad to look at the prophets over this Advent season. Bless us today as we look at Malachi and help us to understand it more, that we would be more like you and be better followers of you. Mm. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Stan, you want to lead us in some overall context?
Sure. We're in Malachi. I would preface what we will do today and the next 2 weeks. This was a little catchy phrase I gleaned from the senior pastor of the church in which I grew up. But when he would talk about the prophets, he would say the prophets are not only those who foretell, but they are those who tell forth. And it's that latter understanding that sometimes we fail to appreciate, that the prophets were speaking to the people of their day. Uh-huh. And it was not just a futuristic message, but it was very much, if you do so-and-so, you can expect this to happen. If you do not do so-and-so, then you can expect this consequence. And so they were very much engaged in the political, religious life of their people, and the message was very clearly for the people of their day. And so with that little understanding, then if we turn to Malachi, which in our Bibles is placed as the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi itself, that word means my messenger.
Okay.
And we're not certain if that was indeed the name of a person, like Abraham is the father of nations, or whether this was some ideal individual. So we don't know much about Malachi.
Okay.
Where we can go is that probably Malachi, his ministry was in the 5th century or the 400 BC, somewhere 450 or 440 or somewhere in that arena. And so this, he is dealing with people who have come back from the Babylonian or Neo-Babylonian captivity. And so the temple was destroyed. Their lives are meager. It's bleak what they came back to. And what we'll recognize here in Malachi is that life is not easy and they're not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we move into chapter 1, what we get in Malachi is actually kind of a point-counterpoint. The Lord is arguing with the people.
Okay.
And so this and it's not only that he's arguing with the people, he's arguing much with the priests and the religious leadership.
Yeah, okay.
And so they're, yeah, it's pretty direct to, frankly, people like you and me, Scott.
Yep.
That this message comes. So the Lord says that he loves his people, and if you doubt that, then take a look at Edom. The Edomites were to the south, and this was Esau,
mm-hmm.
their heritage. Well, they're not existent. The Edomites. I mean, or if mm-hmm. they are there, they're hardly living. And so the Lord says, well, you know, look what happened to Edom, but you guys are from Jacob, Israel, and you're still in existence. From that, then the Lord begins to, in chapter 1 still, talking about the failings of the priesthood. And they don't take seriously the offerings and the offerings of sacrifice. They are using blemished animals, and essentially, I mean, these priests are saying, "Oh, this is a bother. This is just really wearisome."
Oh wow!
I mean, the attitude that is coming through about these leaders, and so the Lord, in at one moment, comes back and said, "I wish that somebody would just shut the temple doors."
Oh wow!
I mean, it's pretty direct. Mm-hmm. So we get that in chapter 1. Chapter mm-hmm. 2 continues,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord is forewarning the religious leaders and says, "I will curse you."
Wow!
If you don't, and then it's, and we can use whatever language we want. If you don't get your act together, or that
okay.
kind of thing.
Okay.
Then in chapter 2 as well, there's a line that says, well, you know, consider the covenant that originally was made with Levi. And the sons of Levi were the priesthood. And the Lord says, you know, at that time, Levi walked with me and those priests walked with me. But you, I mean, you see, you could, even as
yeah.
I hear myself,
yeah.
this preaches.
Yeah.
It really does. And so then he comes back and he talks about marriage with foreign women. And that's clearly an Old Testament concern, but the reality is that if this happened, then that was the introduction of foreign gods.
Mm, okay.
And that's what's in play. He's also very strong about divorce and whether within the populace or within the priesthood, that's there.
Okay.
As one who knows that divorce experience, and we will not talk about that presently, we could at another time, but the Lord comes back and says, I hate divorce. I mean, it's strong language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I just put that out there, and if we want to talk in some other venue, there's
sure.
always grace.
Absolutely.
But we have to deal with the language here. And then the Lord comes back and says, well, you know, you all are view me with weariness. And the Lord then says, but you're getting this all mixed. You're beginning to say that evil is good and good is evil. Well, that sounds a little contemporary to me, frankly. And they're raising the question, and it's a question to the very moment, where is the Lord's justice?
Mm-hmm.
We can see that in our world.
Right, we do.
But they are raising that question. Then chapter 3, which is where we will deal, and you will take us there more directly, there is a messenger, Malachi is coming.
Okay, okay.
And you'll get into that in a little bit.
Okay.
Of what this messenger is about and what the Lord's going to do. Near the end of chapter 3, however, there's a little section that suggests that some of the people heard Malachi's message.
Mm.
And so there's I don't know that we would say that there's a remnant, but there's a little book that is written.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're recognizing their need to change. And then very importantly, and I'll only touch briefly on this, chapter 4, and it's only 6 verses long.
Yeah, it's little.
But in that chapter 4, there is talking about a future day. And in that future day, particularly in verses 5 and 6, there's a message of remember your covenant with Moses, and then this particularly, and Elijah will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Oh, okay.
Before the day of judgment. That becomes very important, both in Jewish understanding and history, and certainly within the Christian church.
Right.
So even today, among Jews at Passover, mm-hmm. and you know this,
yes.
there is that empty chair waiting for Elijah, because when Elijah comes, then Mashiach, Messiah, will come.
Okay.
We in the Christian church then say Messiah has come,
mm-hmm.
and Elijah did come. That is, John the Baptist mm-hmm. is the one who then came to prepare the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes us to Isaiah 40 as well. So Malachi, I like it.
Yeah,
it's great,
I do too.
It's a great, great book.
Well, and to go on that specific point, Stan, about preparing the way of the Lord, that was language that's used in the Gospels about John the Baptist, right? That he's come
exactly.
to prepare the way of the Lord. So it harkens back to Malachi 3:1.
That's and, there, right? And then the Isaiah
and
passage
then the Isaiah
as
passage,
well.
But Isaiah
yes,
40.
So yeah. very much so, this okay. messenger who's
yep.
going to come.
That's right, this messenger. All right, good summary there. Thank you. And it is a short little book. I was actually turning the pages. I think it's about 4 pages of my Bible. If you want to sit down and read Malachi,
yeah,
you probably
yeah.
can in 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
But maybe not dive deep into all of it by doing that. Well, so we're going to look at just Malachi 3:1-5. I did talk to Pastor Jerry actually today, this day that we're recording, and he's preaching on that on Sunday, December 10th. And he talked a little bit about it. And anyway, so we'll maybe touch on that in a minute. But one thing, Stan, it's just 5 verses. So I'm going to read these 5 verses, and then we'll get into talk about the specific verses. So I'm starting at Malachi 3:1. See, I will send my messenger, and I'm reading in the NIV. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. That is Malachi chapter 3:1-5. Stan, in verses 1 and 2, we really kind of see the Lord's messenger is coming to his temple, and it talks about the Lord of hosts, the Lord is coming. And as we looked at that, Stan, we talked a little bit about this before we went on. Malachi again says here, and you say the word messenger here, it could be translated Malachi.
Right.
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 So he's saying, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. There's that. And then talks about Elijah at the end of chapter 4. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord. So one of the little commentaries here I read talked about, are there two messengers here? Is the first, when you superimpose this, I guess, upon the New Testament on our understanding as Christians, could the first messenger be John the Baptist and the second be the Messiah, be Jesus? You made a good point, too. You have to read it in context first for when it was then, that there's a messenger coming who will prepare the way of the Lord, and then the Lord himself will come. Go ahead.
And how the people of that day would have, of Malachi's day, would have understood that. I mean, there is a future sense to that, so I'm not in any way would not negate that. But there no doubt would be this message that, I mean, if the priesthood is as bad as it, as I mm-hmm. was suggesting earlier in chapters 1 and 2, then it's, you know, there's a message there. You've got to clean this up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to change.
Yes.
Or the Lord is going to come and then you have to deal with that.
Right, you got to deal with that. So in verse 3, talking about that, or actually this is in verse 2, excuse me. Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. You talked about lye, L-Y-E.
Yes.
Is that a better translation of that soap?
Or alkaline soap.
Or alkaline soap.
This first image is lye is strong.
It's really strong, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the second image of washing is a different verb that's used, okay, and doesn't have quite that same... is the Lord going to wash his people with lye? Well, no, this is poetic language.
Yeah, poetic language, yeah.
And the prophets were poets.
Yes, and so it's images he's putting forth here. The soap, which is very strong, is going to purify or wash them, or a refiner's fire, purifier of silver. And this is what I was saying. I was talking to Pastor Jerry earlier today. He said, and I did look this up as well, that when a silversmith would come, they would heat the silver with fire until it would melt, and then either the dross or the impurities would rise to the top, and a silversmith would know to skim them or scrape them off the top, leaving pure metal. But I believe Jerry's going to share in the sermon that as a person keeps scraping, as a silversmith keeps scraping, as the silver becomes more pure, then the smith can see his image in the silver. And the idea is then that if we also get refined, purified, we can better reflect the image of God, which is a beautiful picture when you think
about
it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And again, I know very little about smelting. I think there's a little channel off
okay.
of the side that then the dross can be pushed into that
hole.
I think. But and if you go with that image, then there is a sense of that the positive image of being purified. There's the negative image, if this is being applied to the people of Israel, that some of them are like dross.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I want to go further with that
right.
possible image, but that's I have read that as well,
okay.
that might be in play. By the way, just
please,
random thought, the word Malachi, my messenger, in the Septuagint, that's our word angelos, which
okay.
is angel.
Oh.
So that's who angels are. They are messengers.
Messengers, yes. I have heard that. Okay, I didn't know the word connection there, though. That's great. Good. So verse 5, Stan, Malachi does talk about judgment, as you said, if the people don't do this, and if they're not purified, he says, I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify. And he's testifying against sorcerers, so people doing, some sort of magic that is not godly, adulterers, perjurers, people who are not telling the truth, against those who defraud laborers, so people who are unjust, oppress widows and their fatherless, deprive aliens of justice, people perhaps from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot there. It says, you're doing these things wrong. I'm going to be quick to testify against you.
And this is, again, kind of a court scene, or this is, we pick it up in the Ten Commandments, you shall not bear false witness.
Mm, okay.
So that's that same understanding. And so if the Lord is coming along as your witness, guess what?
You're going to be convicted.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's what's going on here. Scott, kind of how my mind works. The word for, the Greek word for sorcerer is the word pharmakos, from which we get pharmacy or pharmacist. Now, I'm not trying to say that pharmacists are sorcerers, but... drugs, so forth, were used as religious experiences in that day, and that's true today in certain arenas, even within our own country.
Right.
That this step from taking drugs and then having these experiences that are presented as spiritual. It's not a far step to go from what we would call illicit drugs to that kind of phenomenon.
Okay.
So You know, so pharmakia is the Greek word for sorcery. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word carries a little bit more of the sense of a magician. But
yeah,
okay. We think of kind of magicians, and Walt Disney had, you know,
right.
Sorcerer, magician, but it's kind of playful. We go back 400 or 500 years, and even in Western culture, you know, there were good magicians and there were bad magicians.
Right, right.
Darkness.
Yes.
And so that's there as well.
Getting into that.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Good. So Stan, there's kind of, you know, I think, three different parts, verses 1 and 2, talking about the messengers coming here, verses 3 and 4, the images of refiner's fire and the cleansing soap, and then in verse 5 about the judgment. And I think one thing maybe to land on is kind of, we want to be people, I want to be a person who's living wrong to have the refiner's fire. It might burn, it hurts, you know, to be cleaned, you know. I was painting recently. We painted a couple of rooms in our house, and I'm messy, so I had a lot of paint on my hands. I had to get out a really rough sponge and scrub the heck out of my hands to get the paint off. It kind of hurt. My hands were red after I did, but guess what? They were clean. So I was kind of an image I had, as certainly a much smaller image. But, you know, I think for God, we'd want to be clean before God and be right before God and for God to refine us.
Very good. And I assume you painted with latex.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're now accustomed with soap and water doing that.
Right.
But you probably remember, I certainly do, the days when you had to use paint. Solvents.
Yeah,
on
paint
your hands.
Thinner, they call it. But it was like gasoline, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of that was pretty strong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You
know, so with the oil-based paint, so yes.
Right, yeah.
But I would also add part of that list of those who will be judged are those who do not respect or fear the Lord. And so, I mean, he's very specific about sorcerers, about adulterers, about liars, about those who oppress. But there is,
yeah,
you know, and you and I can probably look at the Ten Commandments and say, well, no, I don't do that, and I don't do that. Well, but do I respect that positive, fearful
yes.
respect?
Yes, yeah, of the Lord.
And sometimes I think, at least within my life or my world, that Jesus and I were good buddies, and so, and I'm not dismissing that. That's true. He is our friend. No greater love hath this than a person lay down his life for his friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's also the holiness that sometimes
yes.
in our Protestant traditions we fail to see, that other Catholic traditions, for instance, or Anglican, that emphasize more that holiness.
Right, right.
And that's where Malachi is.
Yeah, very much.
God is holy.
God is holy. And may we be holy as well. Let's look at it. Go ahead.
And by the way, I just see Lord of the Hosts. Host is your word for army.
Okay. Okay, good. He's Lord of the Host, host of the army. Okay, good. Let's look at a couple of the questions. Do you mind if I start with those?
Go for it.
Okay. So three questions for us. When you encounter the word judgment, what do you think or feel and why? When you encounter the word judgment, what do you think and feel or why?
I'll do a second.
Okay.
Can judgments be good or beneficial? If so, how?
Mm. I mean, I think they could be, right? If they're righting or wrong.
Well,
we're going to answer our own questions.
Yeah, but then it's, again, the why and in what way is, you know.
You talked about fearing, respecting the Lord. I think when we've been in situations where you feel judgment from a certain authority, it can be frightening or sobering.
Yes.
You know, so if you're pulled over by a police officer for
yep.
something you've done wrong,
yep.
you get typically you get serious very quickly. Yeah. So, all right. When you consider verse 5, which of these sins do you find most disturbing and why? When you consider verse 5, which of these sins do you find most disturbing and why? And so we just talked about that a little bit as well. Well, all right. Good stuff today, Stan.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It, at least always for me, moves me to think and truly ponder.
And next week we'll be in Zephaniah 3. So today we're in Malachi 3. Next week we're going to be in Zephaniah 3. There's a little heads up if you want to read Zephaniah. It's a short little book as well.
So it is good.
Yeah. Why don't you pray
us out? All right. I will do that. Lord, we thank you again for the scriptures. And we think now of Malachi. Goodness. Written some, 2,500 years ago? And yet here we are still willing to ponder, needing to ponder what Malachi first delivered to the people of his day. So we do pray that in our consideration of these, they're more than concerns that the Lord has, that we will hear what we need to hear, and that we will rightly turn and do what is just and right and good in your sight. So help us with that. This we humbly ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good to be with you, Stan.
Always good to be with you, Scott. Thank you.
And we will see all of you next time on Stan and Scott.
Yep, we'll be here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.